With that being said, I want you guys to know a little bit more about Child Evangelism Fellowship. So we have a short video for you guys to see right now.
He's 21. He's never met Jesus. It's possible he never will. He's already formed his beliefs. His heart is hard. He no longer believes God is good. He's not alone. You can share the gospel with them, and you should. But according to George Barna, what you believe by the time you were 13 is what you will die believing. After the age of 19, someone's probability of accepting Christ drops to just 6%, leaving John on a path to a Christless eternity. How do you change his future? Let's go back in time to when John was a child. He never went to church. His mom doesn't trust them. So let's find his public school and establish a Bible club down the hall. There, someone introduces him to Jesus, who takes his life in a new direction. John's so excited, he tells his friends. One of them comes to Christ. His mother sees the change in his life. When he asks to go to church, she comes too, and she comes to Christ. And it all began in a public school Good News Club. But where did that club come from? Let's go back in time again. This is Jane's second year with Child Evangelism Fellowship. CEF trained her, created the materials to equip her and her team as they teach, and helps her raise support to work with children full time. Jane is not alone. Her church partners with CEF to host and staff Good News Clubs in two other schools. And around the world, hundreds of thousands of Christians do the same, evangelizing children, discipling them, and establishing them in local churches. As God transforms children's lives in Asia, Africa, the Middle East, and around the world, making the appointments and adjustments to bring the right person into the right life at the right time. Some he calls his children, some as adults, but for each he changes the line of their lives forever, threading them into a beautiful tapestry. This is his work. But he invites us to be his agents, to join him in taking the gospel to every child, every nation, every day, because today is someone's future. And this is how you change the future.
Hey, thanks for
watching. I appreciate that. Thank you so much, AB team, for that. So we help churches and believers, Christians, to go inside of public schools and or rec centers. And we help with all the training, all applications, everything you would need to be able to do that. And we help you. The goal is, for example, if Spencerport Bible Church is saying, we want to sponsor our closest school, we want to give those kids the gospel of Jesus in the form of an after-school program, they then partner with us with CEF, and we give you everything you need. And then also that means you're able to go to that school, minister to those children, and encourage those children and those parents to come to the congregation. This is a beautiful, amazing, nice facility that we're able to come to today. And I see there's space for more of the community, and that's a good thing. And so I hope that now this message will encourage and challenge us to be a part of this to some degree. As we all know, only one way to be right with God, and that's through Jesus Christ. It's either you're forgiven by God or you're not. And it doesn't matter the age. There's all this, like, what age is this that a child can be or can't be saved, or all these things. I think it's different for every child. I think it depends on their understanding of right and wrong, of the gospel of Jesus Christ or not. And I would like to now go to Matthew chapter 18, verse 1. Matthew chapter 18, verse 1. I'll be reading from the ESV. And as we're thinking about this, the title of this message and our time together right now is going to be, if children are important to Jesus, They should be important to us. They should be important to us. And our saved children, for sure. But even more, I think even non-saved, because the saved children, they'll be right with God. They're going to heaven if they're forgiven because of Jesus Christ. But a non-saved child is not. They're not forgiven yet. And so we'll be going expository style from some of these verses. So we'll be at Matthew chapter 18, and we'll start at verse 1. And at this time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" The greatest is, who is the most important? Who is the surprising one of us all? These are his disciples that have been with Jesus. In context, this is before Jesus Christ dies on the cross. Verse 2, "And coming to him a child, he put him in the midst of them." Jesus doesn't even answer. But he calls, calling to him a child. He calls this child to him, and now he's in the midst of the disciples. So picture this. Picture this church. There's a child. They're asking who is the greatest, and now there's a child there. Verse 3, "And Jesus said, truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." This has to be very shocking. Jesus says, unless you are like a child or change, to change in the Greek is to be, or repent, it's to be converted in thinking and in heart. It's your whole attitude is an active and voluntary change. To be like children, you will never enter, if you're not like children, you will never enter the kingdom of God. So think about that. And now we think about this. Some children, right? There's different circumstances, different situations, different children. But I want to say, in a good, healthy home, there's children that when they're with their parents, they don't have to worry about how the bills are getting paid. They don't have to worry about if there's going to be food. It's just there. These things are automatic. They're not worried. You know who does worry? It's us. It's the parents. We worry, man, are we going to be able to pay the bills? Are we going to be able to buy the food? Are we going to, we think about all these things, and rightfully so. We're the parents. And with our Heavenly Father, God, we know that he's our provider. And Matthew 6:33, it says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added." However, there's times as adults, we doubt. Man, God, are you going to provide? Man, God, this homeschooling thing, this private school thing, man, God, this public school thing, they're teaching horrible things, and there's all kind of issues, but it's amazing that Jesus is saying to be like children, to trust the Lord. Verse 4, "Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." He's using a child as a role model, as an example for us as adults to follow. And I remember one day my daughter, one day I was evangelizing and we were helping homeless people. And I just bought these new gloves that were very thin because we're outside and it's cold. We still evangelize. There's a group of people, and God bless everyone who keeps on sharing the gospel to the homeless, to the community. God bless Rescue and Revive, Camry's Ministry, and Father's Heart, and many others. Thank you for serving. But there's a guy that was homeless, and I'm out of the gloves to give, and he's asking for gloves. And I'm like, man, I just bought these gloves, And they were like 15 bucks, and $15 to me is a lot of money. I was like, man, I just got these, right? And then what am I gonna wear? There was another brother with me, and he was an older brother. And he said, without even hesitating, he just gave him his gloves. And that ministered to me. I went home, and I tell my family the good and the bad. I'm very transparent in my discipleship when I'm doing things right and when I'm not. When I told my family, my daughter goes, "You should have been the one to give your gloves." So I just smile, But if you want to be the greatest, it's the one who humbles. Humbles himself is mean to make yourself low. To bring yourself down. In the Greek, that's what that means. And none of us start off that way. It's God's Spirit working with his word. And that's how we have to do. We got to humble ourselves like children. Verse 5, whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. To welcome, to receive means to accept. We receive a child with a positive attitude, and we must put off when they want to receive Jesus. We don't put them off when they want to do that. We'll tell them that Jesus loves them and share the entire gospel with them. We serve kids as if they are serving Jesus, or as we are serving Jesus. You not only do it for their kids, but also for the Lord. We're called to give the word of God to children. Jesus is putting a blessing on whoever receives one such one in my name receives me. And this to me, I'll be honest, like any one of us, children's ministry was not a high priority for me. I think most people could relate. Until you have your children. So then now, and if you're a believer, now the children, at least in your home, are a huge priority to you. And they should be. If they're not, there's a problem. But and then to think, well, other kids, that's not a priority. But we don't understand that these children without Christ are the ones committing crimes. These children without Christ are going to be living with our kids when we pass away. And what are we doing to reach those kids? And how are we reaching them? How are they going to know about Jesus? Especially if their parents don't go to church, if their grandparents don't serve the Lord, who is God calling to reach them? Verse 6, but whoever causes one of these little ones, Jesus says, who believes in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great milestone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. So whoever causes a little one to sin or stumble, so this is a metaphor to refer to sinning or falling away from the true faith. Milestones were used to grind milk. They are extremely heavy, and the term here refers to the heavier kind of milestone churning by a donkey, rather than a lighter one that is used by a woman to use it. Jewish people regarded this punishment as the awful sort that pagans might carry out. This makes the image of all the more dreadful. So this is, Jesus uses, it's called hyperbole. It's over exaggeration in statement to make a huge point, because we've never seen anybody do this too. We've never seen an example of somebody saying, well, I'm gonna tie this milestone on my neck because I just caused this, I'm gonna cause a kid to sin, you know. But what do people do? There's people that teach their kids to lie. There's people that teach their kids to steal. There's people that teach their kids in a public school, you don't know what gender you are. And there's, listen, by the way, there's just two. There's male and female. In the beginning, God created male and female. So these are things that we are supposed to teach, not only our children, but others abroad. So keeping these components and concepts in mind. Verse 7, it's going to get stronger now. Whoa, this is Jesus speaking. Woe means horrible. Woe to the world for temptation to sin, for it is necessary that temptation comes. But woe to the one by whom the temptation comes. And then verse 8, and if your hand or your foot causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better for you to enter life crippled, eternal life crippled or lame, than for two hands or two feet to be thrown into eternal fire. Wow. Then he goes on to say this in verse 9, and if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than for two eyes to be thrown into hell fire, the fire. Jesus uses again, this is hyperbole, this is hyperbolic language. We don't see a case, if you've ever studied the Bible, looking through, finish off reading the New Testament, we don't see anybody cutting off their hand. We don't see anybody gouging out their eye so they don't sin. Why is that? Because then they have the other hand or the other eye to sin as well. This is saying to go the extreme. This means do whatever it takes. You know, for believers, we're supposed to pluck out the bad habits or bad lust or bad things. But keeping in mind this, for those of us that are in Christ, we're forgiven because of Jesus. thank God that at times we struggle with our discipleship. Disciple means student and learner. And in our struggling with our discipleship, there's sometimes we do what we ought to, there's sometimes we don't. There's sometimes it's a struggle with temptations. Thank God you are saved because of Christ Jesus. But my heart is this though. There comes a time, church, when I have family members, friends, people I minister to weekly, as I'm driving by schools, I can't help it anymore. I'm thinking about these children in the public schools. I'm thinking about the children that are in the neighborhoods. And I came from an inner city background, really tough, really hard. By God's grace, my wife and I, we are saved. We're raising our kids in the ways of the Lord. But too many people within my old community are not. They're in jail, prison. Some of them died by suicide. Students that I went to school with. A few of them are saved. And it's up to us because why? Because one day those without Christ, and we know and we love John 3:16. We love it, and I love it too. We know it by heart. But do you know verse 18 what it says? You're condemned already. You're condemned already if you don't believe in the Son. If you don't believe in Jesus, the person is condemned. They're not right with God. And God forbid if that person dies, that young child dies without knowing Christ, it's a Christless eternity. There won't be another shot. There won't be another chance. So I pray that you would hold that thought about hell. We don't like talking about hell. And again, this is in Scripture. I want to put this usually we don't hear this preached this way, but we all know the parable of the lost sheep. Now verse 10, look what Jesus says. He talks about the parable of the lost sheep. Parable is a story. See that you do not despise or to think less than or little, make little, one of these little ones. Again, the context is about children. For I tell you that in heaven, their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. Don't think less of children. They need Christ just as much as an adult. Keep that in mind. Verse 12, what do you think? If a man has 100 sheep, and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountain and go in search of the one that went astray? When I did a study, a shepherd would have and travel with other shepherds. And what would happen is if one of them is lost, they would leave the 99 and with another shepherd to watch them or oversee them and then go see and find the lost sheep. In the same sense, if one of our children was lost in a community or somewhere, we don't just leave our kids in a house or somewhere alone. We're going to have them be with someone we trust, and then we will go look for that child that's lost. In this case, I want you to imagine the children or the lost ones, the little ones, are the kids in the public school in Spencerport. Too many to even number. And the Lord is calling Spencerport Bible to do it. And we need help with child evangelism. I no longer pray about getting the Bible into school, about reaching kids in school. That prayer has been answered. Now the next step in this is the willingness of the people of God to say, man, God is calling me to reach children, and for us to humble ourselves and say, man, God, you saved me. Now you want to use me to reach the school, because it's not enough, church, just to pray. Prayers have fueled and opened up doors and opportunities for CEF to go inside the schools. It's not enough, church, to just complain and being upset of what they teach inside of the schools. Yeah, they are teaching horrible things. They're teaching horrible things. But now the next step is to go and reach them. Verse 13, so the 99 is lost, so the shepherd is going to find the one. In verse 13, and if he finds it, he truly, I say to you, he rejoices over more than over the 99 that never went astray. An important thing here is that one lost person, that one lost child in the school is important to the Lord. He's important. He should be important to us. Verse 14, so it is not the will of my Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. He's not willing that any should perish, right? Peter says God is not willing and he's not lack to come. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance, to turn away from their sin, to turn to Jesus Christ. Keep this in mind now. God's attitude towards the children, all evangelism is like child evangelism because adults must be like children. Remember what Jesus' context is, to enter the kingdom of heaven. Angels ministered to little ones. The Son of God left his throne in heaven to save children. The will of God is that kids know Christ and be saved. That is his will. That is our purpose, and we're working with the Lord to be able to accomplish this. In the public school, one of the school, I can't say all, but in one and that I went to or others that I know of, I'm gonna go over the books first. There's books in the schools that go about the religion of Islam. The God of Allah, the Islam and the Quran, and I've read through the Quran, and I'm not saying anybody that's a Christian to read it, but my point is, it is not the same God of the Bible. It is not the same God. And that's in those schools, in public schools. There's books about witches. There's content about homosexuality, teachings about homosexuality. Some schools teach transgender. Even sometimes without parent content, not knowing. My experience going to inner city school, and my mom was saved, we didn't have enough money to do homeschooling, or we were raised by a single parent, three kids for my mom, very, very, very difficult. She was trying to honor the Lord. I went to public school, Monroe Middle School. I remember being there. And in this school, there was a locker room, and there was about eight kids. And in this locker room in middle school, no adult was there. I remember this kid saying, you know what, when I grow up, I want to be a drug dealer. I want to sell drugs, and I want to have sex with different women. And I look, and I'm just there quiet. Part of me knew it was wrong, but I'm not living for Christ. You know, no way. You know, I would definitely not say it at that time. I remember there was one kid, skinny kid. His name is John, and oh man, I hope I will see him again. I hope I do. He did something remarkable. He stood up and he said, you know what? Don't talk like this around me. Don't curse. Don't do none of this. I'm shocked. In my mind, I could envision the one kid saying what he was going to be when he grows up. He was a bigger kid, was going to punch him in the face. To my surprise, that one kid, John, he stood his ground and everybody stood quiet. Nobody knew what to do. So I applaud him for that. That's incredible. Probably real strong in his faith or some kind of faith, something. Now, the problem I have with John, though, is he never gave me the gospel. He never told me why he did that. I don't know to this day, and that's why I want to see him. He did good in the first half. Second half explaining, if it's because of Jesus, church, this is the other thing. We go by our works, right? We should pay somebody's meal. We should be nice to somebody. Let's take this kid to a museum. Let's adopt somebody. But and then if we're not giving the gospel, the love of God is incomplete. The reason why we do any good if we're in Christ is because of Christ. And we are called to give this information to people. At one of the schools that I'm currently leading, we're in about six Good News Clubs. So these are schools. These could be rec centers. These could be complex buildings, and myself and others are a part of that. And at one of the schools, you know, one day the Holy Spirit just gives me, ask the kids what they need prayer for. That really, really was just so strong on me. before starting anything. And I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm going to do it. When I sat down with these are inner city kids, 42 school, and I just said that, it really, really just broke my heart, because these kids started opening up, and they're saying not only, and this is unfortunate, my father was not in my life. I didn't know my dad till I was 10. And I would only see him one time a year in Puerto Rico from 10 to 18. That's me. I received Christ at 24, so keep that in mind and aside. So not only was I finding out that these children not seeing their dad, that's a common thing nowadays, but their actual biological mother is not even in the lives of these children. And their grandparents are trying to step in. And thank God. Listen, if there's grandparents right now that are helping, or your kids, thank God. Thank you, Jesus. We need your help. My grandmother helped my mother a lot. It just broke my heart, because they're saying, man, I need prayer because I want to see my mom. I don't know where my mom goes. It hurts, because it's like, man, we want to do more. I really do. My heart is to serve. If I could be at every school, I would be at every school. And as much as six is good, it's not enough. There's too many more. There's too many kids going through things. Some of the people I ministered to, they cut themselves. They learned to cut themselves from their parents at a young age. One of the men that I ministered to at 12 years old, he said his dad shot his arm with heroin, with drugs. And then sometimes I would ask, or I would wonder, like, where is the church to intervene? Not to just pray, but to be the front line that we're called to be and be a part of the Great Commission. Where is the church? I went up to the principal at 42 school, and I said, listen, because this is after school programs. It's like, Lord, we gotta do more. If the church can't come out to do more, then I, Lord, some way, somehow, I gotta get away from meetings or doing things to be in the school more. There's something I have to do. 42 school, I looked at the principal and I said, listen, I wanna help you with the kids that are the most troublemaker, the ones that are really bad. They have to be males, because it's just gonna be me. She looked at me, she's shocked. She's like, what? I'm like, yeah, I want to help with these children. She says, all right, I'm going to contact the parents, and I'm going to make this happen, and you can come in during school. And I was like, okay. This one day, they invited me to read to kids. I had to use books within their library. And I'm working on getting more Christian content within the library of public schools. And that's a thing that I do need prayer for, because it's a lot of work. In there, when I'm able to read to two classes, I found this book about Martin Luther King Jr. There's things about Martin Luther King Jr. that I don't like, I'm gonna say that up front, and things that I do. And I highlighted the parts of believing in Christ. And I would do it like this, like expository. I would read, and I would stop and give the gospel, fill in the blanks, and let them know that I'm a minister too. At the end, I met with these kids, two kids, that they were supposed to be real, really troublemakers. One of them just got out of a fight, and I'm in the office, and I'm praying in my mind, like, Lord, help me. Help me what to do, what to say, you know? And as this kid comes, the principal introduces him, and I look, and I didn't address nothing of what he did. I could tell by his face, he knows what he did was wrong. And I introduced myself, and my name is Julio. And I just shook his hand, and he shook my hand. And the other one did too. When I pulled them aside, I told them my testimony. I didn't say, this is my testimony. But I told them my story growing up. And they just looked, and they're like, wow. Their biological dads are not in their life. They hate their biological dads. They teach them and do bad things. I'm praying in my mind. And I'm pointing that huge change came to me. I never thought I would be saved. I never thought I would be forgiven by God. I never thought I would have a new life. that Jesus Christ has forgiven me and I'm a new man. And I told him what I used to do and I told him what I do now. I told him how God has given me a new heart to reach homeless, schools, even inside the county jail. I told him too that this is what I do with my whole life. This is what I do full time. I don't recommend, and I'm not saying that to boast myself or telling people to leave your job. That's not my point. I'm just making a point how God could change somebody from the inner city. And he could forgive him, and he could start using him to share the gospel. They looked and they were shocked, and I said, do you guys want to see me again? And they said, yes. One of the moms came for one of the kids, and she told me how there was some kind of fight with a security of the school and the child, and then the child got hurt and at another school, and now they're here. It's just complex, way beyond my head, way beyond me. All I could do is pray. I heard her out, and I'm like, look, I would like to meet with your son in the school. Is that okay? She said, yes. I do appreciate all strong believers within the body of Christ that are here. I commend you for your saying, I'm not putting up with the public schools. I'm not going to let my kids be indoctrinated by their doctrines of demons. I'm not going to let my kids learn about this whole gender confusion. I'm not going to let my kids learn about homosexuality. And these are God dishonoring things. You have taken a stand, and I have too. We have taken a strong stand. My kids went from homeschooling to now private Christian school. My son now 18, he's in Brockport. And eventually, church, this is the thing. The kids have to learn how to take a stand. There's gonna be a job, or even if you work for yourself, you're gonna work for non-believers. You're gonna go to a restaurant or somewhere where there's non-believers. And you have to stand firm for Christ and live for Christ. As much as I do, I commend the church and I appreciate the church in these areas. However, we have neglected to find the lost ones around us in our communities. Spence Support Church, if you're not reaching the kids within your school district in Spence Support, you're not reaching the lost sheep that are there. You're not reaching those children that are honestly dumb, then the whole school, everybody there, without Christ, they're condemned already, according to John 3:18. Why should we be a part of this great commission? Because if we remember back on Matthew 28, and we all know this, when Jesus rose from the dead, he gathered his disciples, which means students and learners. He could have told them anything. But he said this, he says, listen, all authority has been given to me. And then he commissions them. He gives them a command to do. And he says, go make disciples of the nations. And the Greek word for go is as you go, as you do life. And he says, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He says, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. You know that be with you always for years? As a youth pastor, men's leader, usher, different positions, right? Driving a band for church. And these are all important because as a church, this is all connected with the body of Christ. That one, that he will be with me always. You know, there's sometimes I don't want to share my faith. Man, I know this is relatable now. There's sometimes where, man, I'm like, is this even working? Is this even worth it? Is this, man, it's taken this person years to receive Christ. There's some people dying as I receive Christ, and I don't know what happened. Then there's a few that respond. Then there's some that respond after 5 years. There's some that get saved after 10 years, 6 years. And now they come to me, I remember you when you used to feed me as a homeless man. And I receive Christ now. There's some kids that are receiving Christ. They're telling others in their school, in the public school, about Jesus. We plant, we water, but it's the Lord who makes it grow. Acts 1:8, and this is before Jesus rides up on the cloud, and he says this. He says, you will receive the Holy Spirit. And what is it going to do? It's not to just speak in tongues. It's not to heal. This is amazing that Jesus emphasizes something so incredible, and sometimes we miss it, because we just put it as a good message. But in Acts 1:8, he's saying, listen, you're going to be my witnesses. As a martyr, Greek, it means the martyr, meaning when you share Jesus in that time, in that location where they were going to put them in jail or kill them. He says, the Spirit of God is going to give you a strength, a confidence. When I go inside the public school, when I'm talking to principals, when I'm talking to people in the jail, I'm going with this strength, whether I feel it or not, I'm holding on to the Word of God. He will be with me always. The Spirit of God has given me strength to preach the gospel to these children, even to the principal. He says, you're supposed to go to Jerusalem. And now you're in Jerusalem. I'm not going to stop at the Jerusalem part. It's your Spence Support area, your Spence Support school districts. This is your Jerusalem church. And I'm getting ready to close. Kids who got saved, keep this concept now. Check this out. Charles Spurgeon says that a child of 5 years old, if instructed in the Word of God, can be regenerated as an adult. Can be, and I'm one of them. Right? My mom, again, raised us alone. My dad, inconsistent in and out of my life. I feel led to share this part of my story too. My dad was married in Puerto Rico with three kids and had marriage problems. He went down to Rochester, New York, and met my mom. My mom was a minor, 16. They had a one-night stand, and my mom got impregnated. My mom tried to abort me three times. The first time, she didn't have enough money. The other two times, somehow, some way, the doctor was not there to do the abortion. After a while, my mom, she couldn't help it. She had a Christian Pentecostal background, but not practicing. She started praying. She couldn't help it. She started fasting. She couldn't help it. She said something came over. It was God that came over her to do this. She felt me move at one point. She just had a love for me. I came out blue with asthma. Didn't know my dad till I was 10. Really, really hard. And Satan would put in my mind that God doesn't love me. I'm not supposed to be in this world. I'm a mistake. I'm an accident. I just didn't know who to talk to about this. I don't remember any Christians or any groups going inside of the public schools of Rochester City School or Monroe Middle School, Middle School. I never thought I would be saved. But at 24 years old, there were some people throughout that would give me gospel cards. Very few Christians would actually share the gospel with me. I didn't know the gospel. I went to a church that didn't preach the gospel of Jesus. They preach laws and commandments, but never that God loves you so much that Jesus died for your sins. I learned the gospel outside with a pastor, Pastor Luis Diaz. I was so shocked of the gospel that I couldn't even register at one time. It took two times, but I received Christ at 24. These are some testimonies of children that received Christ. There are some at within the schools, like I said, with CEF that have. But I want to highlight my son, Kalan. He was 8 years old when he received Christ. He's now 18, still serving the Lord. My daughter, Aliani, was 5 years old when she received Christ. She's now 11 years old. These things have happened before 21. We're not waiting by 21. Church history also reveals of kids receiving Christ. Matthew Henry was 11 years old when he received Christ. Dr. Isaac Watts was 9 years old when he received Christ. Jonathan Edwards was 7 years old when he received Christ. I think Tim Tebow also under 10 when he received Christ. Richard Baxter was 9 years old when he received Christ. Jim Elliott trusted in Christ when he was 6 years old. Jim Elliott is the man that he felt called with missionaries to go to indigenous people to give the gospel. And when he went, they killed him this first attempt. He was giving them food and giving them things, and now he's making contact with indigenous people. He died. There's a power. There's a power that comes to go in places that their school district doesn't want you there, obviously. But there's definitely a power that comes through the Spirit of God to be a testimony. Jim Elliot's story, his wife is the one who takes up the mantle to give the gospel. The women of those who died came up and moved forward. God's gospel, the power of the Holy Spirit in such a way, God's loving, and listen, there has to be a whole process of discipleship for this to happen, because I'm like, man, Lord, how? There is a picture of Jimmy Elliott's wife cutting the hair of the man that killed her husband. And he received Christ. Could God really work this way now? Could the God through the Bible, through church history, why is it that it only happens with some of us, but not all of us? And when is it now that we're going to take that next step to move forward and say, God, use me to share the gospel with these kids in these schools, in these communities, in these places? They need Jesus. We're here to fight. We're not here to just have a vacation. We are here. We got to understand we're going to wrestle with sin. We're going to have issues. But we are saved because of Christ. Any day we die, we go with the Lord. Any day they die, not in Christ, they're condemned. There's a huge difference, church. And I pray that you be inspired and encouraged. So now my final question to the church at Split Support Bible is, will you join us? Will you help us? There's inner city schools, they don't have the funding even for the program and things. And then there's people there in the inner city that are not interested. The church is right next to it, don't want to do nothing. I pray and hope that's not going to be the same for Spent Support Bible. I pray and hope here that you would say, man, I want to know more. I want to be involved. I want to reach the kids. And I want to say this, older saints, you are the most valuable. Homeschoolers, you are valuable too. You're the homeschool parents, because you can go with your kids to that, you know, school and minister to kids. Also, older saints, you're the one from 3 to 5 or 3 to 4 that you're able to go and minister to these kids. We have a table in the back, and I would like you guys to join us if you have any questions, comments. We need help in every area. But more than all, we want to help you go inside of a school near you. We want to help you do that. We want to help you minister to the kids there. And I've been thinking, as I was thinking about this message, something that went in my mind is that not everybody receives Christ when I first give them the gospel. And I wish they did. I wish every child, I wish every person did immediately. But I thank the Lord. There's a difference, church. There's a difference, and I was there. There's a difference of the person who's not even in the fight. I'm saying you're saved because of Christ, but I'm saying you're not even attempting to plant and water seeds. You're just caught up with other things. There's a difference of not doing nothing, and the one, there's a few of us that keep laboring. And one of my brothers and some of them open up with me like, man, is this worth it? Is it, you know, this, man, they're not changing, they're not this. And listen, in one of the inner city clubs, kids sometimes are disrespectful, they curse, they all kind of things. And in that, if you think about this, they're learning now with us. If we were not there, it would be worse. Who's going to teach them about Jesus, about prayer? Who's going to teach them the gospel? Who's going to do it? It has to be us. And I just want to pray for us now. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for this time together, Lord. And I thank you for Spent Support Bible Church. And Lord, I pray too, Lord, that they can understand my heart, Lord. It's to come alongside. I learned to grow and care about the things you care about, Holy Spirit, the Word of God. And Lord, I'm just challenging and encouraging my brothers and sisters. Lord, I need their help. We need their help with child evangelism, reaching children. And Lord, I know they need help too, Lord, reaching the kids in the Spent Support area. And so, Lord, we pray, Father God, that we would be able to work together to do this, Lord, to reach every child with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father. I pray, Father God, that this word that was planted or watered would be a challenge and encouragement to the audience here. I pray, Father God, that, you know, bless those who are already doing, they're already reaching the kids, and encourage those that are not. We thank you, Father, for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.